This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We love taking you around the globe, one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and we are in our COVID-safe Melbourne studios, but we are just weeks away from the move to Victoria's new Pride Centre. And tonight I'm joined in the studio by Alex.
Guten Abend.
And Shannon.
Good evening, Matt.
It's hard to believe that it's just over 3 months since President Donald Trump left office and the world breathed a collective sigh of relief. His rollercoaster presidency was sometimes frustrating, other times entertaining, but always unpredictable. Some groups, however, were singled out for an ongoing attack right throughout President Trump's four-year term. One such group was the USA's trans community.
Tony Zosher-Fatan began directing and producing films in 2012 after realising that there weren't many films focused on trans stories. As a trans man, he knew what challenges invisibility brings. His latest documentary project, a series called Trans in Trumpland, took him into the US states with the worst transphobia under President Donald Trump to try and find out what was driving this hate. To give you an idea of what the docuseries holds, here's a taste in the trailer.
I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens.
A transgender woman brutally attacked in Texas.
She is the fourth transgender homicide victim in Kansas City.
So the Trump administration retracts
a legally defined transgender out of existence.
They found the body of discrimination.
You know what I am? Do you know what I am? A child of God. A child that is deserving of as much love as you. That's who I am.
It's no exaggeration to say that trans rights were jettisoned backwards during the presidency of Donald J. Trump. From the removal of funding for trans health services to rescinding the Obama presidency guidance allowing transgender students to use bathrooms of their choice, or banning trans service people from the military, the attack was unrelenting. And the legitimacy of this push by the Trump administration in turn allowed for visible and vocal transphobia in the community. America's trans community was under attack. One trans filmmaker sets out to capture and explore the issue from both sides. The director of the docuseries Trans in Trumpland is Tony Zosher-Fatan. We asked him how this documentary series came about.
So filming the series as a trans man and in such like conservative, hostile states from 2019 is when we filmed, but essentially the series was created right when Trump won the election. So creating the series was very scary. Filming in these conservative parts of the country with a trans-led crew, LGBT crew, from New York City was one of the most scary things, but also one of the most life-changing things ever, specifically because it showed me the reality is really bad to be trans in these states, but there's also a lot more hope that I found and a lot more optimism in terms of how these trans people in the series find their community and their support while fighting their state's policies. So I would say that's what it felt like directly. But also for me, it also kind of, I would say, changed me politically as well. I'm left-leaning, but I kind of found this like humanity in my heart, even for Trump supporters and people who don't see ideologically the same way. Because at the end of the day, people are people. And a lot of times if they're ignorant or hateful towards trans people, for example, it usually comes from a deep place of insecurity, maybe about what they're feeling. Because if you hate someone so much, it's probably more about you than them, right? Yeah. So I would say that filming this series exposed me to the realities. Definitely, those are things that are deep truths. But it also changed my perception. And I also think it changed the people in the series, their perception of what it's like to be trans in their own states. So very life-altering experience, and I would gladly do it again.
You covered the anti-trans bathroom bill in the docuseries, but even more recently than that, there seemed to have been like a whole spate of anti-trans state bills. The ACLU has said that there's 28 coming up this year in different state houses, and they're ranging from making like gender-affirming care a felony to provide it, and like school sport restrictions. How concerning do you think is this, like, seems to be like a real wave of these laws?
Yeah, I can't even imagine what it is like, Shannon, to look at this from afar, from Australia, and just like see what's happening, even the past 4 years, but now. These anti-trans state policies are devastating, and you hit it on the dot. There's a lot of them, and I think they'll keep expanding and keep passing. My theory about why they're gaining traction and why they're occurring is because it is a direct reaction to Biden winning. So when you have the leader of your opposite political party, so it's like mostly Republicans doing this, they're trying to gain control on a state level. And who is their target? Someone who's vulnerable, trans youth and trans people in general. So by taking villainizing trans people, the GOP is holding on to, just like they did with gay people in the 90s. They're like, this is our target to gain political points. So in 2024, they can hopefully reinstate Trump or someone else. That's my theory. Because why is a young kid's healthcare or their ability to participate in a sports team any adult's concern? It's kind of psychotic, right? So it's a direct reaction to Biden winning. It's a direct reaction to the advancement of trans rights on a federal level here under Biden. And also, it's a way to gain political points with their voting base, because they scare their voting base about trans people and queer people.
And how much do you think the environment of the Trump administration kind of allowed a lot of these to kind of grow?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think Trump and his administration are like directly allowed this to happen. It's like if we lived in a world in which Hillary had won, right? I think that we would have been on the way towards federal trans equality, meaning like, for example, here in the US, the federal government does not cover trans surgeries and hormones, even if trans people pay taxes. That's crazy. So when Trump won, he villainized people every day, trans people specifically. Trans people don't exist. Trans people are not going to be in the military. Trans people, if they're detained, are not going to be given rights. Those are some examples. So when people hear the president of the United States say that, they think, oh, it's okay to hit the trans woman down the street and brutalize her. And this happened. So Trump definitely gave transphobia a new energy in the US. And now these states and these governors are now saying we can do it because it worked under Trump.
So do you want to take us through the four people that you chose to follow for your docuseries?
Yes. I wish I could you guys can watch it. Oh, man. Okay. So the trailer, let's start with the trailer since this is the Aussie viewership. The trailer shows all four people. So I can give some insight. In the trailer, Let's start with Rebecca, who is detained by ICE in Texas. That's the woman who says, I was told I was crazy, I was housed with men. So Texas is our second episode, and that is a trans woman named Rebecca who came from Mexico at a young age, but then was detained during the Trump years, thrown in with men. They didn't let her have her medicine, including hormones. Horrible. So that's our second episode. Going back, the first episode, the young boy you see in the series, his name is Ash. And he lives in North Carolina. He's our first episode. And he has the support of his mother, Daisy. His main struggle is the anti-trans bathroom policies, which are another crazy thing that have gained a lot of leverage in the U.S. Essentially, it's like, you can't use the bathroom and whatever. So that's his struggle. So North Carolina, Texas, our third episode, a Black trans woman who's older in the trailer. That's Ivana. Mississippi is our third episode. She's great. She runs Mississippi's only trans nonprofit, which is it's a really racist and transphobic state, and she stays down there. She's great. She has served as a mother to 200 LGBTQ youth who have been thrown out by their families. Wonderful person. The fourth episode, you may have seen a guy who is like a military guy, Shane. He's in Idaho. He's a military veteran, and he's also Native American. So he identifies as Two-Spirit. So he gives us a insight into what America could be. So I'm like, those are the four characters, and maybe we'll do a season two and have six more episodes.
And that was Tony Solche-Ferrerotane, director of the documentary series Trans in Trump Land, with us on Joy 94.9.
He said there, I can't imagine what this looks like from afar. What does it look like to you? What's your first take?
I feel that these are quite universal issues, although what I loved, and we've discussed this between us, that he's chosen for in this first season, for lack of a word, because he's hoping there's going to be a second season. In these four stories, he's chosen four quite different protagonists. But I still think there's a lot of universality, you know, in the experience, the prison experience in story two, migration and prison story. There's the youth in high school. It's, as a teacher myself, I know that. It's those very much issues are here, but, you know, with obviously very much a US overlay.
Been to it, yeah. Shannon?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, yeah, such diverse storytelling within the trans community, which I think is really important and really good. I will also say, when it talks about the different laws that have happened, there's been a slight update in like one of them since we spoke to him, and that's that in Arkansas, where they have had a bill banning, making it a felony for doctors to provide any gender affirming care to trans youths, the governor vetoed the bill, but he does expect that to be like overturned and for the bill to still be signed,
so still go through. So they have the system where the governor can veto, but then it goes back to the house if there's enough
support. Yeah, which I think is something like 2/3 or something. If there's if there's enough support in that, then that still becomes law.
My take on this, I always worry, just with that Australian lens, I worry that particularly after it became such a strong story in the Trump presidency, that people of a similar mindset here will go, that's working there, therefore we'll replicate it here.
Yeah.
Yes.
That worries me. And
yeah.
And we have seen that over the last few years, definitely the moral panic over toilets, because it's such a great
everyone issue can have an opinion on it.
Right. And other groups to latch onto, because it sounds, you know, these horror stories they create of men sneaking into women's toilets under the guise of being a trans woman, just, you know, ridiculous fear-mongering. But, you know, it's an easy wedge issue.
Of course, the toilet in your own home is an all-gender toilet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, coming up, with so many attacks in these known transphobic states, we asked Tony if he found it hard to find people willing to go on camera with their stories, and his answer will inspire you. You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Our diverse communities have one home, Joy.
Dzień dobry, I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
And we've had a message in. In fact, it's more than a message. It's a message with love. It's a membership, a new membership, Nanad from Clifton Hill. Thank you so much. Welcome to the Joy family. We love having you a part of it. And, of course, we're coming into membership season with our radiothon, so certainly the time to check it out. If you've got thoughts on tonight's show, what's your thoughts on President Donald Trump? Send us your message. How have you been reacting since he left office? Have you breathed a sigh of relief, or do you miss the daily tweet news?
A United States trans advocacy group labelled Trump's presidency the discrimination administration. They tracked 71 policy and law changes deliberately made to discriminate against trans people. On day one of his presidency, the administration removed all mentions of LGBTQ people from the websites of the White House, Department of State, and the Department of Labor. The behaviours and language of the administration emboldened some Americans to partake in transphobia, such as discrimination, verbal attacks, and even violence. It was worse in some states than others, of course. As director of the documentary series Trans in Trumpland, Tony Saussure-Fontaine travelled to some of the worst states, trying to find trans people willing to tell their stories. We asked Tony if it was hard to find the subjects willing to participate in the docuseries.
Yeah, I want to say yes. That's a good question. I want to say yes, because even though everyone loved participating, and I think that the series and the publicity has elevated all four characters' lives, it was tough. I'll give you an example. North Carolina was really tough to find the young trans teen and his mom, because three other families had passed and told me the reason we're passing is because we don't feel comfortable where we live telling our story publicly. And I understood that. When I found Ash and Daisy through a LGBT youth organization in North Carolina, they said, while we are scared to tell our story, we want to tell our story. We're ready. And finding that a teen who has the consent of his mother was like, yes, I found it. That took a while, like 6 months. The other people, you know, were less so hesitant. It was nerve-wracking. I was nervous too about being a director of this project.
So the docuseries is obviously about like the trans experience under Trump, but you also chose a really wide ranging of stories, like you just explained. For example, like Rebecca, who used to be in like an ICE facility. How important was it for you to touch on those issues as well?
Yeah, definitely. So going into it, I knew that I didn't want to just create a trans series. Sure, the focus is trans people, but I knew that I could get to a wide variety of audiences and capture what the past 4 years were like for all Americans. So for example, Rebecca in Texas, who was detained by ICE, I was like, this is an important issue because this hasn't been told before. We know about trans people on film, but do we know about trans people and what they go through when they're detained or prisoners? So that was like an easy kind of scenario and reason why I went to Texas, is I knew that there was a really deep, really inhumane story there. And when I learned about Rebecca and what she went through with ICE, I realized that there was a way that we could craft this story to speak to immigrants as well. And the US is made of immigrants. So it's like, okay, this is an easy intersectionality. And I think too, with the Mississippi episode with Ivana, who's a Black trans woman, the past 4 years increased racism. Racism became a hot button issue. And so Ivana telling me what she goes through in Mississippi, being Black and trans, I was like, wow. That means that we could also broach the topic of racism, which is still, it's a big issue. And I also think too, not a lot of people know about Native American people, but also Native American trans people. So in Idaho, that too, I looked into how he could talk about being an service member, but also how he viewed being a Native American and how Trump's rhetoric about Native Americans impacted him. So it kind of was like part of the journey of finding these people and realizing they were multi-layered. And that kind of allowed me to make this series accessible to a multitude of people. And what I'm hearing after people watch it is like, wow, I'm not trans, but I learned a lot, or I could relate to this. I'm like, that's cool. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's great. How much did you think about the general portrayal of the trans community in the media when making the documentary, and how did that kind of affect the process of making it?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Every week, there would be a new intertrans rhetoric or policy that Trump either tried to pass or passed. So it was like going in and researching and keeping track of this stuff in the media while filming and developing the series. We literally had like a 30-page document going to research the issues and what was happening while we're filming. And it was like crazy for my team and I to keep track of because it was so much. And I'm like, what the hell? So it was, for me personally, it affected me a lot because I would think like, oh, am I like, valid? Do I exist? Am I a good person as a trans person? So it affected me. It affected my crew. It affected the people in the series to continually hear about this from 2016 to 2020 while we were creating and putting the series out there. So yeah, I would say it kind of had that effect, but it also gave me more motivation to create the series fully and follow through.
And how did you pick the four states that you picked? Because obviously, as we've talked about, there are like a lot of laws and a lot of states. Did you find the stories first? Did you pick states and then try and find stories?
I think how I started was I waited for Trump to like take some actions against the trans community and other minorities in the U.S. And I was like, okay. So I started out with like the subject of the series. I was like, here we are at the federal level. Here we are at the state level. So what I did was when I realized like what Trump was doing with the military and ICE and detaining immigrants, I was like, okay, well, these are issues that we can include. Then what I did was I researched like the worst anti-trans states in the country. And then it was like North Carolina, yes. Texas, yes. Mississippi, Idaho, yes. I could go on and on, but for budget and time, we were like, well, four, you know, five max maybe. So what I did was I kind of started here. Then I got the subject matter. Then I got the states. And once I knew the states that would kind of still have these policies after Trump, then I found the subjects in each state. And so I want to say that it took like a year or two to figure that all out before filming in like the third year. So oh, it was like, where do I even begin with Trump? That's what I felt like. It's like, where do I even begin, you know?
That's trans man and film director Tony Zosherifatane with us on Joy 94.9. It blows me away. That's 4 years of work boiling down to four 30-minute episodes, 2 hours. That's like, whew, amazing. ICE. We should explain to people what ICE is because it's. When I first heard it, I thought it was something about drugs.
No. It can be easy confusing. It's their equivalent to the Border Force.
Right. So it's immigration.
Like an organisation has been contracted to patrol US borders and deal with so-called.
But also, migrants. Yeah, it's a bit more hands, like yeah. A bit more than, bit different to Border Force in a sense. Also, it's a bit like the police in the sense that it'll go to like a restaurant and raid it and ask everyone to show their papers to prove that they're
quite aggressive.
And then they deport people, like they arrest those people and deport them that don't show that.
Yeah. The issue of picking the states, it's such a partisan, and whether this was the way before the Trump presidency or whether it's become a bigger issue that the divided states of America, a much more partisan issue where, you know, mask wearing became something that was more about which party you supported. Then trans issues, same thing. It was very partisan.
Yeah, so that's interesting, the comment he made about the initial response of the Biden administration, that then in the Trump states you see this reaction. And so, again, who do they react against? Well, the obvious targets are those who are seen as being aligned with the Democratic Party. So it's no surprises that they've become targets. But again, you know.
Yeah, and also, I guess, how he said, I mean, obviously there was action against trans people being taken, like, prior to, you know, Donald Trump's presidency. It's a long-term issue, but also, I guess, it was interesting how he waited to kind of see what those places that would really pick up those things, particularly as Trump became president, where those laws particularly would become more and more vocal, and then kind of picture those places to focus on.
We've got lots more coming up here on Joy 94.9. In fact, we find out the unusual filming tactic that Tony used to bring all four of these stories together. This is Worldwide Wave.
Australia's only LGBTI radio station, Joy.
Hello, Australia. This is Noam, Apple, and Top from Apple Models in Thailand. The world's first transgender model division on Joy 94.9.
It's the show that takes you around the globe, one queer story at a time, Worldwide Wave. That was Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
That was Apple Models in Thailand, and they were such a fun interview to do. It's the world's first transgender modelling agency, and, you know, a great example of trans people who were having a real challenge getting noticed, being able to earn a living. So they set up their own company and they're raging away now. So a special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast too. We've got a great collection of podcasts. You can subscribe to receive our podcasts automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or go to iTunes or your favourite podcast platform. And please leave us a review. We love to hear them and we love people to see them. Just one more mention. Want to talk to people. Radiothon is coming. In a couple of weeks' time, it's our big party, fundraiser, fun generation membership drive throughout the year. It keeps Joy on air. We are one of only three full-time LGBTI radio stations around the world. We are so lucky to have that here in Melbourne and even luckier to be moving into the new Pride Centre. So it will be the next generation of Joy, and it's only successful. It only works if people take out memberships or kick in a donation and keep us on air.
Counting down.
Absolutely.
We're returning to live broadcasting in the studio this year, yeah?
Absolutely.
10 days in April.
From the 14th to the 23rd, so you'll hear lots more about it, and we look forward to all those memberships coming in.
Out, loud, proud. Joy.
Filmmaker Tony Zosha Fatan took to the streets of some of the most transphobic parts of America to tell the life stories of trans people under President Donald Trump. He travelled to four different states to tell four very different stories. Now, in most documentaries, the filmmaker stays behind the camera. It's the silent partner in the story. However, Tony chose to make himself part of the story with the four characters. We asked Tony why he chose that, to make himself visible in the documentary.
So directing and hosting it was difficult at times, being in front of the camera and behind it, but I knew that there had to be something or someone or some story that glued together all four subjects since they were so different and they live so far apart. So it was a little bit daunting and very emotional and sometimes sad to share my story of being rejected from my family, finding the love of my family, and going through that while the characters also struggled with family and everything that they're going through politically. So I felt like sometimes like I needed to take a step back and do self-care and recharge myself on set and afterwards. And what I realized when we edited after filming is that I was happy that I shared my story on the road with the characters and interviewed them on the spot and directed it and hosted it, because we realized that we kind of really needed that thread that pulled together all these four states, these four subjects. And so, yeah, I was happy to do it, and I'll gladly do it again for season two, because I think that when things are hosted, they're a little more fun because you can have some humor in them. Yeah.
So it's been just over 2 months since Trump's left office. Have there been noticeable differences kind of in the environment for trans people, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I'll give two examples. He expanded the civil rights legislation, I think it was in 1964, to include gender identity and sexual orientation. He created an executive order, Biden, within the first week of winning. And I was like, that's cool. So that helped out trans people and LGBT people because essentially, you know, expanded that this is included in civil rights on a federal level up here. And he also appointed the first ever trans federal employee, Dr. Rachel Levine. That's great. And she had been the head of, like, you know, health care in Pennsylvania. So those two actions said to me, he believes in trans people. He believes in our competence. He also believes in our civil rights. That's cool. So that's like within the first month, right? So we've had that advancement, but these states and their governors are like, we're not having that. And they're passing all these things in Arkansas, Tennessee, pretty much everywhere. It's like, here we are advancing, and then here are the states, which is must, again, be interesting to watch abroad, because we're a shit show.
Rachel Levine was actually my next question. I'll skip that one. What is your hope for this current administration, and what changes do you think will happen or you would like to see happen?
Oh, yeah, I'm optimistic. I want to say I think Biden will continue to push for trans equality. Like yesterday was Trans Day of Visibility. He was the first president, even after Obama. He literally was like, he celebrated and gave time and posted about Trans Day of Visibility. That's cool. That's like the first president to do that here. So I'm optimistic that he'll continue to advance trans rights. Some tangible things that I hope that him and his administration do over the next 4 years is pass a bill that says that every state must cover trans hormones and surgeries, because it's state by state. And these hormones and surgeries are thousands of dollars out of pocket. So it's a travesty that someone like me in New York or someone else in California is covered as a trans person, but someone in Arkansas isn't. And we're all tax-paying citizens. So that's a big thing. That's a big inequality. And I think, too, for me in general for the country, I really hope these anti-trans state policies stop or get reversed. But I have less hope for that than the Biden administration.
What's next for you? Is there anything else that you're working on or that you're thinking of working on? Or
I want to do a Trans and Trumpland season 2. A lot of people keep asking because, like, knock on wood, when we're available in Australia, you'll see it's 4 episodes, but they're rather short. They're only 30 minutes. And so everyone keeps asking. They're like, well, this keeps happening in these states. Are you going to do a season 2? So I think I'm going to start creating that and get on it. And then I'm also working on a queer trans dating show that has like an astrology focus. So those are my two things, is like, I like documentaries. I like TV series. So I'll stay in that space / like a horror movie in the next couple of years. Maybe Trump in Transland, and I just throw him into a horror flick. So yeah, those are the three.
And that was Tony Zosera-Fatan with the docuseries Trans in Trumpland. Hopefully, fingers crossed, coming to Australia soon.
And some people would say that the Trump presidency was a horror flick.
Yeah.
Really fascinating stuff. Look, it hasn't made it to Australia yet. We've got the scoop on it, if you like. When it does, we're going to let you know. But you can watch the trailer on our Facebook page, and it is quite riveting. You guys have seen the show.
Yes.
What's your take?
Well, as I've mentioned, I think he chose the four protagonists brilliantly. So you've got four quite contrasting visions of trans life in sort of pro-Trump states. So each one very different pictures. So I loved I particularly loved the story in Texas. I just found that fascinating because the layers of
that was about the jail.
Yeah, the migration. Latino community, the issue of incarceration, and the
and that is one of the
real trauma for trans people, because this particular protagonist was sent to detained by ICE, sent to prison. Of course, they just send her to a male prison.
Yeah.
And she just, you know, she's not allowed her hormones. It's just the absolute horror of being in that situation, because by then she'd fully transitioned and then had to basically find herself regressing within weeks as her hormones wore off.
That is one of the strengths of this documentary series, is it covers off the intersectionality. It,
yes.
It gives you more than you expect and challenges you in ways you weren't expecting,
yeah.
Whether it's race.
Yeah. The same one in Mississippi is just fantastic, because they just deal with the fact that it's, you know, we all know from various TV series and depictions that, you know, being African-American in the US is difficult enough, being a female African-American, being queer, and as one protagonist says, you know, we are at the bottom of the bottom, being trans African-American in the South, you know.
And, well, maybe there's even one lower than that in terms of Native Americans too, that the profile. And
a different one, yes. Yeah. I don't know if it, I think the levels of racism in Mississippi I found particularly, like, just the stories that came through. But yes, the story about the First Nations person who'd served in the army, it's quite amazing.
A real highlight in the documentary, I think, for me was when he spoke to the teenager. When Tony spoke to him, and I think it was just like a really beautiful moment where Tony showed the young boy like his school photo, and where before Tony had transitioned, because Tony said he didn't know about it, that he could or anything like that until he was 19, and he just kind of said like, I'm just so happy for you that you get to have your school photo look like you, you know. And he said, I don't know how I'm going to explain to my kids like what my school photo looked like. And it was just like a really beautiful moment kind of shared between the host, like the documentary maker, and, you know, the young teenage boy. It was lovely.
So simple.
Yeah.
The documentary series is called Trans in Trumpland. Not yet in Australia, but we will keep you posted on when it gets here.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Kia ora, my name is Tatriana and I'm from the Cook Islands LGBT organisation, BTR Association, on the World Wide Web.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
And thank you so much to Tony Zosera-Fatan, the director of the documentary series Trans in Trumpland. Everyone should go and watch
the trailer on our Facebook page.
Yes.
And we will post when we've got news of it. The actual viewing, the streaming. Or the,
and thank you to all our messages this week and tonight on Facebook. We had Claire Bear, James, Eric, Sarah, Liz and heaps more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook. And thank you to SMSs and emails.
And Nanad for your membership. Love it. We have a wonderful behind-the-scene team with Dean, our social media master, and our podcaster, Peter. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.